ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14. Lord Krishna explains the yoga system, text number 19. Yathagni Susamridharchi Karoti Edhamsi Bhasmasat Tatha Madvishaya Bhaktir Udhavain Amsi Krishnashaha Agni Su Samridarchi Karoti Edhamsi Bhasmasat Tatha Madvishaya Bhaktir Udhavain Amsi Krishnashaha Yatha, just as Agni, fire, Susamridha, blazing, Archi, whose flames, Karoti, turns, Idhamsi, firewood, Bhasmasat, into ashes, Tatha, similarly, Mat Vishaya, with me as the object, Bhakti, devotion, Udhava, O Udhava, Enamsi, sins, Krishnashaha, completely. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Udhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly, devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. Translation responsibly. My dear Udhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly, devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. Purport. One should carefully note that the Lord refers to devotion that is like a blazing fire. To commit sinful activity on the strength of chanting the holy name is the greatest offense, and the devotion of one who commits this offense cannot be compared to a blazing fire of love for Krishna. As stated in the previous verse, a sincere loving devotee, because of immaturity or previous bad habits, may be disturbed by his senses even though he has accepted Lord Krishna as the only goal in his life. But if even by chance the devotee accidentally falls down without premeditation or indifference, the Lord immediately burns to ashes his sinful reactions, just as a blazing fire immediately consumes an insignificant piece of wood. Lord Krishna is glorious, and one who takes exclusive shelter of the Lord receives the unique benefits of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mulda Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. My dear Udhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. So basically this verse is a continuation of the previous verse where Krishna spoke to Udhava that if his devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But still because of his unflinching devotion, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. That's what the previous verse was. So this verse is a continuation, and this verse is a very famous verse. And we see Srila Prabhupada, he quoted this verse a lot. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam and Even in Bhagavad Gita, many places Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in other books. And even Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse in the Nectar of Devotion in explaining one of the six characteristics of devotional service, which is devotional service relieves one from all material miseries. So there also this verse is quoted. So we can understand that this is a very, very important verse. So we understand there are two types of, we know there are two types of living entities. One is those who are eternally liberated. And then there are those who are eternally conditioned. So in God's creation, there are these two types of living entities. So in the material world, obviously they are the ones who are those who are eternally conditioned. So when a conditioned soul tries to revive Krishna consciousness, tries to be Krishna conscious, tries to revive his relationship with God, so that is actually quite a big thing. Because we have been, since time immemorial, been entrapped by the material energy. So it is like when, and this is also mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purpose, that when one actually becomes a devotee, that is like declaring war against Maya. Like we see there's so many kinds of wars being, you know, taking place. Like there was a few years ago was the war on terror, the war on weapons of mass destruction, or, you know, so many different wars. So, but actually the biggest war is when one takes to Krishna consciousness, because the material energy is very, very powerful. It is not like, you know, the Taliban or someone else. Material energy is much more powerful. So when one tries to become a devotee, so that is like declaring a war. So when there is a war, there will be opposition. It is not that, you know, everything will go casually. So because it is a war. In a war, it's, you know, the enemy will employ different tactics to conquer us. So we see, so when we take to Krishna consciousness, the Maya or material energy also declares war and tries to entrap us by so many different ways, by our putting forward our attachments, sense objects, you know, material desires. So it said, like, if one wants to be a devotee, he doesn't have to be, if one is like too detached from the material world, like that is a jnani, you know, he is not a devotee. A devotee has spiritual emotions, like we all have emotions. So devotee has, one who is a perfect devotee, he has spiritual emotions. Generally sometimes people either they become too engrossed and on the, you know, in the emotion side, or they become too detached. So a devotee is like somewhat in between. So you know, his emotions are actually spiritualized. Like we can see the residents of Vrindavan, you know, they are always thinking of Krishna, they are always thinking of serving Krishna. So in that way a devotee is situated. But generally when one takes up to Krishna consciousness, one is somewhat in between. And if we are in, as was described in the previous purport, if we are situated on the bodily platform, there is always danger of falling down. You know, like, it's like, for example, if you are driving a car, and, you know, if you don't pay attention on the wheel, and if you look here and there for a few seconds, you can end up in a crash. Or if you're riding a bicycle. So similarly, we have to render devotional service very, very carefully, very, very attentively. If it is not attentive, there can be an accident, there can be a slip, because we are not situated on the pure platform. We are still on the material platform, but we are trying to render devotional service. So we see that, you know, sometimes sometimes people succumb to their lower tendencies. All these desires, they manifest, you know, from time to time, they just like pop up. Sometimes we see, like, even we have understanding of some devotee, he's of very good standing, but we see sometimes the devotee behaves, you know, not properly. He might get angry, he might not treat someone properly in front of everyone else. So then, you know, So one can actually think that why is a devotee acting like this? You know, a devotee is supposed to be perfect. Sometimes we see, we have all heard of this term, bloop. Devotee's bloop. Prabhupada coined this term, I think. So bloop means like if you throw an object in the water, we hear the sound bloop. So sometimes, it's interesting, because in the previous verse, Srila Hridayananda Maharaj quotes this verse, Api chet su duracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhu reva sa mantavya samyag vyavasthito hi saha. That even if one commits the most abominable of actions, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's considered to be saintly because he's properly situated in this determination. So this is actually a very important verse, and we should try to understand it properly, because sometimes this verse can be misunderstood also. So we see sometimes, you know, devotees bloop, or in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that when one is in the conditioned stage, their activities in his which one performs in conditional life and their activities in his constitutional position. So activities in the conditional life are like, you know, basically taking care of the body, following the rules of the state, social, you know, laws, moral principles, all that stuff. And then this constitutional position is to render service to Krishna. So sometimes they go parallelly, or sometimes Prabhupada says they oppose each other. So sometimes when they oppose each other, we see sometimes people, they lose the Krishna consciousness. Like for example, you know, due to sometimes financial pressures, there's so much financial pressure, you know, one gets caught up in all that and he somehow loses his focus of Krishna consciousness. Obviously sometimes for some devotees there are problems in their families. You know, their family is giving them a very hard time. They're opposing their taking to Krishna consciousness. So it seems like they're covered over, you know, they stop practicing. Or sometimes you see like, you know, sometimes devotees get overwhelmed by business. You know, they're doing some, they're working or they're having a business, and they become, you know, overwhelmed by different opportunities, and somehow they lose their focus. Or sometimes devotees get carried away by sensual desires. You know, so, you know, the objects of the senses come in front and one gets bewildered. So one leaves Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we see like, you know, devotees are blue, but sometimes they come back. Like you see after few months, few weeks, they're back in the temple or back in crossways, and you know, they're taking prasadam, chanting. Or sometimes they look so different, you don't even recognize them. You know, that this person was living with us, now he's cut his hair, or they've grown their hair, they have a mustache or beard, so you can't recognize them. So it seems like, you know, or they might be, you know, committing the most abominable activities, you know, which we can or cannot conceive of. You know, like they might be engaging in illicit sex, eating meat, intoxication. These are very, very abominable activities. But Krishna says that even if such a person, if he is his devotee, he is to be considered saintly. He is to be considered a sadhu. So one might think, how can we consider such a person to be a sadhu? He's not practicing Krishna consciousness, he's totally engrossed in maya, in matter, and is performing all sinful activities. So we understand that a devotee actually has, a Vaishnava, pure devotee, has 26 qualities of a devotee. Like, devotee is very kind to everyone, he does not make anyone his enemy, he's truthful, he's equal to everyone. Devotee is clean, you know, he's without possessions. Devotee works for everyone's benefit. Devotee is peaceful. This is a very important point, this one. He's always surrendered to Krishna. Sanskrit is Krishna Eka Sharana. Sorry, Krishna Ekashana. That devotee is always surrendered to Krishna. A devotee is very meek, humble, no material desires, steady, controls his senses, does not eat more than required. He is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. He is very grave, very merciful, very friendly, poetic, expert, silent. So we can, you know, if we look in a devotee, we might not see all of these qualities. We might see very few or maybe none. But it is described that out of these 26 qualities, one quality is very, very important, and we should always look for that quality, which is Krishna Eka Sharanam. In other words, that a devotee is always surrendered to Krishna. And even in this, the purport of this verse, Maharaj says that one should carefully note that the Lord refers to, that one who takes exclusive shelter of the Lord is very special. So this quality of the devotees surrendering to Krishna is the most important quality. So even if the devotee has not developed other Vaishnava qualities, or he has lost them for leaving Krishna consciousness, but if he still has that one quality, that is very, very important. He's to be considered a sadhu. This one quality is very important. So like we see, if he knows that Krishna is only the goal of his life, that the goal of his life is to render service unto Krishna. Sometimes we see, like, even, you know, devotees have been rendering service for many years or for some time, they go away, you know, but they come back. They still have strong faith in Krishna. You know, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by chanting Hare Krishna or by rendering devotional service, everything can be fulfilled. But we see some people, they don't have this strong faith in Krishna. You know, some people, they do all kinds of pujas, you know, yajnas, pujas, because they think if Shiva is supreme, or you know, Brahma is supreme, or I should worship Indra or Ganesh or someone. So they do not have that strong faith in Krishna. So they are not really the sadhus what Krishna is talking about here. So they need to have exclusive faith that Krishna is the only Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything else is expansion of Krishna, and everyone else is the servant of the Lord. So if they have this realization, they are to be considered sadhus. And we see in due course, if one has this quality, all other qualities manifest in due course of time. Because we can see, none of us came to Krishna consciousness with any of these qualities. Or maybe some of us had some of them. But generally, when one surrenders to Krishna, takes up the process of devotional service, all the other 26 qualities, they manifest in the heart. So, but there are people who criticize devotees, you know. They are mundane moralists, you know. You know, you are a devotee, you are supposed to be perfect. You know, why are you acting in this way? Unfortunately, they cannot see that the devotee is trying to surrender to Krishna. You know, and as a result, all the other qualities will come. Just like, for example, Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Like, you know, Ambarish Maharaj, I mean, it wasn't even an offense, but you can say it was a small offense. He broke the fast at the wrong time, right? So, and Durvasa Muni was, you know, he was very puffed up. He got very angry at him. How could you break the fast at the wrong time? So then so Durvasa Muni cursed him. You know, he generated a demon. So we can see sometimes people, they criticize devotees for very, very small, insignificant things. You know, they are mundane moralists. Like once on books, someone asked me, "Do you have a permit to distribute books?" I said, "Yes, I have a permit." I didn't have any permit. I said, "I have a permit." So he said, "No, you don't." I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Show me." I said, "You are not a council authority, so I don't need to show you the permit." They said, "No, you're lying. You know, you're supposed to be a servant of the Lord. You know, you're a servant of God, and you see, you're lying." But they cannot understand the higher principle that, you know, that is to serve all conditioned living entities. So sometimes people criticize devotees. Sometimes even devotees make faults. You know, and a very nice example is came to my mind. You know, this is the second book I read, Science of Self-Realization. In this, there's a letter. One lady writes a letter to Srila Prabhupada complaining that two of his disciples were not behaving properly. They had a very negative outlook towards people. And then Srila Prabhupada, he replies to her. It's a very lengthy letter, but we can get a lot from this letter. It's very relevant to this verse. So her name is Lion Ludwig. So she basically she writes that to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada replies, and so Prabhupada doesn't know the particular circumstances in which, you know, they offended her, but Prabhupada does acknowledge, okay, they did offend her, but Prabhupada says it is out of immaturity. So it is interesting how Prabhupada brings the point that, you know, it is out of immaturity they are behaving like this, but the main point is she should try to understand that they are trying to surrender unto Krishna. They are trying to surrender unto God, which is quite a rare thing. You know, manushya nam sahasreshu kasti dirti siddhaye. So I'll read some parts of it. It's actually quite a long letter, so some parts are very relevant. So Prabhupada says, your complaint is that you have met two of my young disciples in California, and they appeared to you to have a very negative outlook toward the people they meet. Of course, I do not know the case and what circumstances are, but kindly forgive my beloved disciples for any unkindness or indiscretion on their part. After all, to give up one's life completely for serving the Lord is not an easy thing, and Maya, or the illusory material energy, tried especially hard to again entrap those who have left her service to become devotees. So basically Prabhupada goes on to say that the main thing is that, you know, despite their immature behavior, they're trying to surrender to God, and she should appreciate this point, because in a letter this lady was talking about love, you know, the devotees should be very merciful and show love to others. So of course her talking about of love is on the mundane point of view, and Srila Prabhupada actually clarifies that. He says that actually there is no love in the material world, it is only lust. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. So Srila Prabhupada actually says that. And he describes that one who understands the miseries of the material world is actually a very, very rare person. And one who is trying to come out of the cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. And out of immaturity he might do something. But she should understand this point. This paragraph is quite interesting. These are the descriptions of the more advanced stages of Krishna consciousness that devotees get by development of mature knowledge, which Srila Prabhupada was describing, that they, you know, see everyone equally, they are very merciful, they have love for all living entities. So these are like the advanced stages of Krishna consciousness. At present, many of our students are young boys. They are learning gradually, and the process is so effective, certain and authorized that if they stick to it, they will come to the right point, as you say, of loving. But that love is not material, so it should not be judged on the false, sentimental platform of ordinary, mundane dealings. That is the point. Therefore, to say they are not loving may be true from the materialist's point of view. They have given up affection for family, friends, wife, country, race and so on, which is all based upon the bodily concept of life, of flickering sense gratification. They have become a little detached from Maya's love or lust, and they want Krishna's love or endless, fully rewarding love. But they have not yet developed to that point, that's all. We cannot expect that all of a sudden your countrymen, who are addicted to so many bad habits, will give up eating flesh, taking intoxicants, having illicit sex, and so many other nasty things, and overnight become great, self-realized souls. That is not possible. That is utopian. But being just initiated as Krishna's devotees puts one in the topmost category of human society. And although such a devotee may not yet have advanced to the highest level of spiritual understanding, still he is to be considered the most exalted personality, regardless of temporary frailties. Then Srila Prabhupada quotes 9:30 Bhagavad Gita. So he says, to err is human, therefore in the neophyte stage we may always expect some discrepancies. Kindly see the thing in this light and forgive their small mistakes. The big thing is that they have given everything, even their lives, to Krishna, and that is never a mistake. So this was very appropriate to this verse. So the main point is that one has to see this quality in a devotee if he surrendered to the Lord, and his immaturity can be overlooked. Like, for example, when I was still, I'm very immature. Still, when I was taking up to Krishna consciousness, I remember, because at that time I was working. I had a 9-to-5 job, and I was living with Koti Prabhu here in Bhakta Bhavan. And so I used to go to 9-to-5 job, and I remember I was quite fanatical actually in those days, and I would not eat anything which my employers would give, because they would have parties every now and then, and it's actually good not to accept their foodstuffs. But how you deal with them is very important, you know. So I treated them very unjustly. So, you know, they would say, why don't you eat meat? I said, because you know, you have killed an animal, and that is a very sinful act, so I'm not going to accept it. So they were quite upset by that. And then they said, okay, we'll bring some vegetarian food for you. That you can eat, right? You're a vegetarian. I said, yes, but it is cooked by non-devotees. So I cannot accept it. Their consciousness is very, very impure. And I was going to work with Tilak. So, you know, that was also quite full on, and it was very scary for people. They could not relate to me. And then they said, okay, so you don't need food cooked by non-devotees. We'll bring you fruits. One day they said, we have brought you some fruits. Why don't you accept fruits? I said, well, it is not offered to the Lord. It is not offered to Krishna. So I cannot eat that. So they were like, you know, they were like blown away. So what is this offering, and, you know, people or persons of whose consciousness is very impure. So this is very, very immature in dealing with people. So people can be actually put off by our behavior. So, but the main point is, if someone is trying to surrender to Krishna, then, you know, that's what people should try to see. You know, they should not try to see other things. Other things will go away. Like a few days ago, just recently, someone was telling me, there's one devotee, he's behaving very rudely with other people, you know. He's telling off people in the kirtan, and, you know, he's shouting at people. But, you know, they should try to see that this devotee, he's trying to render service to Krishna, and though he has these shortcomings. So we should, as devotees, we should try to overlook these points. And we see, if we do not actually appreciate this quality in a devotee of Krishna Eka Sharanam, we can actually commit so many offenses against devotees. We can become critical. Actually, so many Vaishnava prads spring from when we do not see this quality in a devotee, that he or she is actually trying to surrender to Krishna, though we might have so many faults. So sometimes we can start picking up on the particular faults of a devotee, and so we can actually commit many, many offenses. So this goes for myself also. We should try to see this important quality. And, you know, another point is, if we actually go on criticizing the devotees, then actually no one can be a devotee. If we see these faults in a devotee, no one can be a devotee. No one can become a devotee. You see, like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he started Krishna consciousness in America. And in America, even in India, what to speak of America, you know, they didn't have these 26 qualities of a devotee. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he tolerated them to quite a great extent. We see, like, they were, you know, addicted to all kinds of sinful habits, meat eating, intoxication, they were taking drugs. But Srila Prabhupada saw this quality, that somehow they're coming to hear about Krishna, they're coming to chant. And there's also that pastime in the Lilamrita where in the early days Prabhupada is giving a lecture, and in comes this hippie, you know, he's totally intoxicated and he's making a lot of noise, and Prabhupada says, you know, keep quiet, we're having a discussion. But he still makes a lot of noise. Then he comes front and puts some toilet paper and tissues here and there. And so Srila Prabhupada, he actually appreciates this. He says, see how he's rendering service to Krishna. So despite his, despite he was so unqualified, but Srila Prabhupada saw this quality in him, how he's trying to render service. And we see actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was also criticized a lot. When Srila Prabhupada, he went to Vrindavan to see his spiritual master. At that time, I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had brought lots of devotees and they were going to do Vrindavan Parikrama. And actually many of the temple priests in Vrindavan and many so-called Brahmanas or Vaishnavas, they were actually criticizing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because he had made people of low caste into Vaishnavas or Brahmins. So they were actually throwing stones on them. They were so offensive. And even Srila Prabhupada was heavily criticized for his giving, of making Westerners into Vaishnavas and Brahmins. Even I experienced this myself once. I was on Harinam with all the devotees. And one Indian actually pulled me out. And he said, all of this is fake, you know. All these Western people, they are just putting up a show. They cannot actually render devotion. They have to take birth in a Brahmin family. He actually said that to me. Two years ago. On Harinam. So one Indian said. He was quite upset by this. So we can see people actually, they become very envious and they criticize the devotees because they do not see this main point, Krishna Eka Sharanam, they do not see that, you know, they themselves are not doing, you know, rendering service to Krishna. They are caught up in all the, you know, rules and regulations and different rituals and pujas. But it is all dry. They are not actually, you know, there is no devotion there. Like sometimes I go to my relative's house, they invite me for all these pujas and havans and, you know, it's so dry. There's nothing in it. There's some pandit and he's doing all these rituals. There's no meaning behind it. But we see Prabhupada didn't do what maybe Mahatma Gandhi did. You know, we have all heard of this term Harijans. Gandhi coined because Gandhi coined many of the, you know, because in India, like the many, even now, but before it was more, people of low caste, they're looked down upon, unfortunately. So, in order to elevate them, Gandhi termed them as Harijans. So, Harijan means like the son of God, like there's Vishnu Jan, the son of Vishnu. So, Harijan means the son of God. So, he termed them Harijan without they having any qualification. Simply terming them Harijan does not make them a Harijan. They actually, even now, they are still looked down upon. So, in India, Harijan, if someone is called a Harijan, he's actually looked down upon. But actually, to be called a Harijan is a great thing, you know. If somebody calls us Harijan, we should be proud of that. Because we are actually sons of Krishna, we are sons and daughters of Krishna, we are devotees of the Lord. So, Prabhupada, he actually turned as Malechas and Yavanas into Vaishnavas. Just like example of just how Dell metal is turned into gold. So similarly, Prabhupada turned Malechas into Vaishnavas. Prabhupada just didn't give them Brahman initiation or he just didn't make them a Vaishnava, you know, just by coining them or rubber stamping them. Prabhupada actually, by the process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada actually turned them into Vaishnavas. So, but unfortunately, many people, they cannot see this. You know, they say, they have to take birth in a Brahmin family. In India, it's very, very prominent. So, when one takes up to Krishna consciousness, all the qualities follow one. All the good qualities. It might take some time. You know, you might have to tolerate the devotee, but sometimes it happens very quickly. Sometimes it takes time, the quality. Just like, you know, it's like when Indradyumna Maharaj comes, all his different, or his whole entourage comes, his different disciples and devotees, they all come, you know. If you invite them individually, they might or might not come. But if Maharaj comes, everyone comes, you know, the whole party comes, then you get everyone's association. So like that, if one surrenders unto Krishna, all the other 25 qualities or all the other items of knowledge, they naturally come up in a devotee. And sometimes we see it is said habits are very strong, habits are very hard to break. You know, it's a saying, old habits die hard. So habits are very, very hard to break. So sometimes, you know, when one is practicing Krishna consciousness, one can succumb to old habits. And in this instance, I was reading Bhagavad Gita 9:30, in that Srila Prabhupada gives a nice example. There was this person, he's a devotee. His past occupation, he was a thief. So he was a thief and then he became a devotee. So then he went with some other devotees to the dham for pilgrimage. So, you know, his hands were getting itchy at night. He wanted to steal because he was accustomed to stealing. So, you know, he got up at night but then he thought to himself, how can I do this? You know, these are devotees and I'm in the dham. How can I steal? You know, this is such a sinful activity. But still he was so, you know, habituated to stealing. What he did, he took everyone's possessions and mixed them. Put one devotees here, other devotees there, and shuffled them around. And so in the morning when they woke up, the other devotees, he actually admitted, you know, I was previously a thief and due to habit I've done this, so please forgive me. So, you know, if we have, due to habits, if we perform some actions which are not actually appropriate of a behavior of a Vaishnava, then we should do a few things. We should actually, it is said one should repent. You know, if one falls down, accidentally slips, you know, like if you're walking, you walk on a banana peel and you fall down. Or sometimes, you know, I've seen devotees falling down in the toilet all the time. You know, they slip on the water and they fall down. So if someone falls down, we should actually pick ourselves up. It's not that, you know, I've fallen down, you know, you get depressed. You should get some treatment or you should pick yourself up and carry on in your duties. Or if you're too badly hurt, get someone else to pick you up. So, and as other devotees, we should not actually make fun of we should not actually derive pleasure in criticizing a devotee who has fallen down. Because that is actually offensive. As Krishna himself says, you know, such a person is actually very, very saintly. He's a sadhu. But accidentally he has fallen down. He didn't intend to. And that person, he should actually repent. You know, not repent like the Christians or, you know, you, Monday to Saturday you commit sinful activities, then Sunday you go to the church and repent. And then again you do the same things. Then you think, I'll repent, then I'll get over it. No, that is, as it is mentioned here, that is, to commit sinful activity on the strength of chanting is the greatest offense. So one has to repent, you know, if I've taken intoxication by mistake or I, you know, smoked cigarettes or, you know, you're on the internet and suddenly something comes up and then you get caught up in that. So one should actually feel bad for that. So, and then one should pray to Krishna, because to break old habits is very, very hard. But if one prays to Krishna, Krishna is stronger than Maya. So if one prays to Krishna, one can actually overcome the bad habits. So to praying to Krishna is also very, very important. Prayers are very important. So one should not say, you know, it's all because of my karma, you know, all. We cannot simply blame the old habits also. You know, it is because of my karma, my astrology is not fine, my charts are not okay at the moment. That's why I'm like this. You know, one actually has to take shelter of Krishna and devotional service. And that way we can overcome our bad habits and accidental fall downs. And generally in the material world, you know, is that para dukha dukhi. When one is in material consciousness, it is actually the opposite. Para dukha sukhi. One actually derives pleasure from others' suffering. That is quite natural in material consciousness. in the contaminated stage. That if someone is suffering, we derive great pleasure, you know, because out of enmity. But we should actually feel sorry for that devotee, you know. If it is our own family member or relative, we actually feel sorry for them. If they have, you know, if they have lost a lot of money or there's some family problem, there's some disease, we feel sorry for them. But similarly, when some devotee falls down, we should not look down upon them. It is, you know, we should feel very compassionate. We should try to help that devotee to come back. Because there was one instance of, there was one sannyasi, and he fell down from sannyas, and then devotees were actually, you know, making fun of him. They were criticizing him. And when it came to Prabhupada's attention, Srila Prabhupada was very sad, and he actually chastised the devotees, saying that by your making fun of him and criticizing him, you're making it actually difficult for him to come back into Krishna consciousness. If there is some inclination to come back, he won't come back, because you're making it very uncomfortable for him to come back in the Sangha of Vaishnavas. So we actually have to be very compassionate on the devotee who leaves Krishna consciousness or who's struggling. But if the devotee is justifying, you know, his sinful behavior, if he's justifying it, then that's a different story, you know. You can correct him. Or you can, you know, but if one is simply struggling to follow the process, one should not criticize that person. One should be very compassionate, and one should try to help them if one is able to help them. It's like if one is a good swimmer, only then you can help someone from drowning, save someone. If one is not a good swimmer, you will also drown in the process of helping. So if it is in one's ability to help someone, one should help them. Otherwise, you know, you can leave it for some other devotee to help them. And also we should understand that the environment in which we are operating, that we see these days when people come to Krishna consciousness, we have to understand the environment they're coming from. They are, in Kali Yuga there's intense degradation, you know. So when people come to Krishna consciousness, still their sinful habits are very, very strong. You know, so we have to be, you know, compassionate, you know. These days there's no sense control. You know, people don't want any sense control. So if you preach to them about sense control, they are against authority and all that. So it actually takes time for them to come to Krishna consciousness. But if they are sincere, we should encourage that. And as it is described here, the analogy is very nice. A blazing fire, when it consumes the firewood, it turns into ashes. So our sinful reactions or the sins are compared to the firewood, and the blazing fire is compared to devotional service. So they are burned to ashes. And when we take up the process of Krishna consciousness, sadhana, bhakti, all our sinful activities on different levels are destroyed. So as described in the Nectar of Devotion, the prarabdha karma, the manifest sinful reactions are destroyed. The unmanifest, you know, the previous activities which we did, due to which we are suffering now, they get destroyed. And the desire, the seed, which leads to, you know, repeated sinful activities, that gets destroyed. And ultimately the false ego or the ignorance which binds the living entity, that also gets destroyed. And it is described like in a forest fire, there are so many snakes. So when there's a forest fire, the snakes of ignorance, they get burned. So similarly, by rendering devotional service, all these snakes of ignorance, they get burnt. And we see, though Krishna is equal to all living entities, but Krishna takes a special interest in his devotees. You know, Krishna says, I'm equal to all, I'm not partial to anyone, but I take a special interest in my devotees. And that is actually a sign of personalism on Krishna's part, because that is quite natural. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of, one might be a person, someone is a very charitable person. He looks after, like someone might open an orphanage. He looks after all children who come to the orphanage. But he has a special attraction towards his own children. You know, that is quite natural. So similarly, one who renders devotional service is very, very dear to Krishna. Krishna takes that devotee is not under karma. He's directly under Krishna's hands. So any reaction, whatever he's getting, is actually coming from Krishna to purify him. So, you know, that person is directly under Krishna. And this is a sign of, in personalism, there is always reciprocation. So Krishna reciprocates with the devotees. An example is given of, like, Krishna is like the diamond and devotee is like the gold. So when you place the diamond ring in the gold ring, the both of them, they actually glitter. And we see, like, in the pastime of Ajamil, when Ajamil, he took the name of Narayan and he became Krishna conscious, even the Yamadutas, they were not able to touch him. So this is another example of how one who takes to devotional service is directly under Krishna's, he's directly under Krishna, is not under the agents of material nature. So the Yamadutas were also not able to touch Ajamil. The Vishnu Dutas intervene. So in conclusion, the most important quality is Krishna Ekasharanam, to see if a devotee is trying to surrender to the Lord, and if he has full faith that Krishna is supreme, and by chanting Hare Krishna, you know, one can achieve everything. So are there any questions or comments or corrections? Yes, Prabhu. You will, sorry?
I'll let the whole world know about it as long as it doesn't happen to me.
Yep, yep.
As soon as it happens to me, then
we become defensive and, yep.
And, you know, there's another saying that you should not criticize a person unless you've walked a mile in his shoes. So I think we should try and relieve those things.
Yep. Yes, yeah, thank you. Yeah, we should look in ourselves how many faults we have. It's not easy. Especially when we are in the fire. It's not easy then.
Good point.
it's best if the authority of the devotee corrects him, or it is and generally good if someone who's authority of a devotee, he or she corrects him, you know, and we try not to judge that devotee, because we can. Yes, so like it is the duty of the guru to correct, you know, guru or teacher. We can, Thank you. Transcription of Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.